Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 29th of Sivan. Today we're going to be discussing the Tzitzit Eliezer's view on how a doctor can get back from the hospital on Shabbat. Because in Tzitzit Eliezer, Chelek Chof Bet, Volume 22, Simon Sadi Hey, response number 95, a doctor wrote to the Tzitzit Eliezer. The doctor writes the question on the 29th of Sivan. The Tzitzit Eliezer answer is, no, I'm sorry, this is the date on the tshuva is the 29th of Sivan of Tavshin Nun Chet, 1988. The man who's writing the question was the doctor who was in charge of, the name is, I took out the name, it's not important, but the doctor in charge of the maternity ward, basically, especially for complications of pregnancy in Bikur Cholim Hospital. And he wanted to know that as part of his job in charge of the maternity ward, in charge of the neo, I think it's the neonatal ward, and for pregnancy complications, he would frequently be called in on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. And he generally would go in by car, and the reason he would go in by car is, first of all, it's pikuach nefesh, right? He's in an actual life-saving situation. He goes in by car. The question is, how does he get back? Because they might call him again, so that's a problem, right? They might call him again, so if he doesn't have a car, meaning if he goes in by car and he leaves his car there and goes back some other way, he has no way to get back in again. So that's one question. So his question was, because it turns out, because Bikur Cholim Hospital had like shuttle buses, so he could have ridden the Bikur Cholim shuttle bus back to his house if that's what he needed to do, but then he wouldn't have a car available if he was called in again, so he wants to know what he has to do. It's also true that Bikur Cholim employed a Goy Shel Shabbat, meaning they employed a non-Jew, and the job of the non-Jew was, when there were things that came up that needed to be done, they could have a non-Jew do it, and that always makes it not allowed necessarily, but it makes it a derabanan, and especially in cases of hospitals and ill people, it's frequently more acceptable to have a non-Jew do it, even though ordinarily we don't turn to non-Jews to help us out with Shabbat, because that's a violation of a derabanan, but in hospitals and those kinds of situations, it's frequently more acceptable. So the question this doctor asks is, what am I supposed to do about getting back? I can just drive my car back. I can take public transportation, or I can take a shuttle bus from Bikur Cholim, or I can have the non-Jew drive me back in my car, and that way, at least, I have my car ready and available if I'm called back in over the course of that Shabbat, or I can stay in the hospital all Shabbat. On the non-Jew driving him back, he doesn't mention how the non-Jew himself is going to get back to the hospital. I assume he can then take a bus or whatever it is to get back to the hospital. That's the question that Tzitzit Eliezer gets in 1988 on the 29th of Sivan. He starts off as saying, I've already answered this question in a similar situation, so go look up that one, and then you'll know for this one. And it's something worth noticing about the Tzitzit Eliezer. The man wrote voluminously, but he also seems to have had like a perfect memory for what he had written before, so that every time he's addressed a question before, he knows where it is. And even in the rest of the shuvah, we'll see other things where he brings up the idea that, I've already discussed this, I've already discussed that, and yet he doesn't just say that. He always takes the old stuff that he refers back to, and then he builds on it to make the new point that he's going to make. So in our situation, that old shuvah has a lot of interesting qualities in it, and therefore we'll take it up, even though it's not a shuvah for our day. It's actually for the 16th of Iyar, about 3 years before this one was written, in 1995. I'm sorry, if I said 1988, I was wrong. It was 1998, and this is 1995. So the Tzitzit Eliezer is actually in 1996, so that prior tshuva from 1995. So I'm sorry, the Tzitzit Eliezer is an aged man. He's in his early 80s. Not that I think there's any diminishing of his capacities. It's just he's still doing what he did his whole life. He's still answering these tshuvas with full vigor. So he points out, 3 years ago, in Volume 21, Siman Nun Tet, he'd answered a very similar question, but not exactly the same question. So the similar question came from a man who was in charge of the magnetic resin, the MRI unit, basically, at Hadassah Ein Karim, which is a different hospital and has different setups. So that's going to be relevant to our question. And then also true that this man wanted to know if he can buy a house or an apartment in Efrat. In other words, he's thinking of moving from, he's now living in Yerushalayim, which will be relevant later on in his response as well. And he's thinking of moving to Efrat. And he wants to know, can I move to Efrat when I'm in charge of it? So, and as an MRI doctor, he's not called in all the time. but he's sometimes on call on Shabbat and Chagim, and then, or if there are particular problems, particular difficult issues, and he has to get to the hospital. So on the way there, there's no problem because Pikuach Nefesh, he assumes, but he wants to know in terms of getting back, and it doesn't make sense. He can't really walk it, and therefore, he wants to know if he can get back. And then he also says, and if somebody were to tell me that I can't get back, so I can imagine to myself that in situations where it's not clear that it's Pikuach Nefesh, I would say to myself, maybe I don't need to go in, right? Maybe I'll just decide that this can be taken care of by the staff and I can just tell them what to do over the phone and not go in, right? So he says he knows other doctors in Efrat who have told him that Rav Moshe Feinstein allows them to go back, to drive back by car to their homes, and he wanted to know if that was true, and if the Tzitzileza thought that was okay, that would allow him to move to Efrat and to continue to serve in this hospital in Hadassah in Karim when he needs to. So Tzitzileza agrees fully that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in fact, had allowed going back. That's in Igros Moshe in the fourth volume of Orach Chaim, the fourth part of Orach Chaim, in Simon Pei, in response number 80. And his thinking, his reasoning was, there's a Gemara in Erevin that talks about when, let's say there are Jews who need rescuing. We don't mean medical rescue, we mean battle, war rescuing. So people go out, let's say there are highwaymen, there are robbers who are threatening a group of Jews, and we hear about it, and we go out to save them on Shabbos, which is perfectly allowed. The Gemara on Memhei Amud Aleph says they're allowed to go back. The Mishnah says they're allowed to go back, right? And so in Erevin, the original issue is a tchumen issue, right? The halacha is a complicated set of halachas today, and I'm not getting into where these things do and don't apply exactly, because they're very difficult to set very specific guidelines on, but the halacha is that one is not really allowed to go 2,000 amot outside of one's place of habitation or one's city of habitation. So what counts as one city as opposed to a break in a city? That's a complicated issue. Recently, Rabbi Mordechai Willig lent me a sefer that has a whole discussion of Yerushalayim, because there are places in Yerushalayim where it might look like there's enough of a break that you'd have a problem in it. But wherever it is, let's say you live in a city, you're not allowed to go 2,000 amot outside of that city. 2,000 amot, depending on how you count an amot, somewhere between 2,000 amot, between 3,000 feet and 4,000 feet, meaning less than a mile, a little over half, somewhere between probably, you know, around 3/4 of a mile. And that's all you're allowed to go outside of your place of habitation. So the Gemara says, but the people who go out to save other Jews, they're allowed to come back. They're allowed to come back even if they went further than that. Normally, if somebody leaves their city and goes beyond the Tchum, they're not allowed to move. They have to stay in their Dalamama, that stay within their 6-foot radius of where they were. But here it says they're allowed to go back, and the Gemara on Memhei then says, not only are they allowed to go back even more than 2,000 amot, they're also allowed to, the Rambam says, they're also allowed to bring their clay Zion with them, they're allowed to bring their weapons with whatever they were, and the reason is, Kadesh lo lahachshilan la'atid lavo, that we're worried that in the future, if we don't allow them to bring their weapons, so these weapons, whatever they were, but they could be expensive, and they could be valuable to them, so if you make them abandon them wherever they are, and then there's a chance that when they get back there after Shabbos to find them again, they won't be there, then the next time there's a call for a war, they'll say, well, I can't lose my whatever it is every other week when Jews need saving, and they won't go. So in order to avoid that problem, in order to avoid that worry, the rule is that people who go out to save other Jews are allowed to return to their place. Otherwise, you will lead them to be nichshal latid lavo. It will lead them to not go in the future when they should be going in the future. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that Gemara and that Rambam means that they're even allowed to violate Torah prohibitions. They're even allowed to violate an Isser d'Oraita in order to help save the other Jew. And if that's true of war situations, if that's true where the saving is by going to physical battle or fighting off attackers, Rav Moshe holds that should also be true for doctors who are doing the same thing, right? They're going out to save people and then they can come back because of that. And that, I think many, many people know that too, Rav Moshe, and many, many people assume that that's the way that we can paskin. And Rav Moshe holds that that's true in any situation where you have to worry that either this person himself will not choose to go back, or that even if family members will get upset about it and not let them go back, let them go the next time, that's all going to be a problem. And it's even true, even though the Gemara was talking about when you're saving other Jews, plural, it's clear to Rav Moshe that that's true for any single Jew as well. And so therefore, in all these situations, you're allowed to go back in all those kinds of things. And he has a long tshuva in which he makes that claim. That is Rav Moshe's perspective. Caesar reports that, and he says that's exactly what Rav Moshe thought. However, he says, I cannot refrain from mentioning that I disagree, that I don't think it's true. Well, the Rav Moshe Feinstein was, and by this time he's already passed away, but Rav Moshe Feinstein was 21 years older than Tzitzil-Yazir, so he's certainly a generation ahead of him, and he's certainly the gadol of a generation ahead of him, and yet Tzitzil-Yazir feels comfortable saying, I don't understand that, I don't feel that way, and I've already proven in another tshuva of mine. So this is already the third one that we're getting into here. We have the one that we're really studying, which is the 29th of Sivan tshuva that we're studying about the doctor who is in Bikur Cholim Hospital. Then we had moved to the tshuva about the doctor who's thinking of moving to Efrat. Now he refers us to another tshuva where he talks about this general question of whether doctors can go back. And he says, he thinks you can let them go back because, like we said, otherwise they will end up not wanting to come in the future. But that whole factor that Tzitzit Eliezer had held and continues to hold only applied to rabbinic prohibitions, like carrying their weapons or going outside of the tchum of Alpayim, the tchum of the border of 2,000 amot. I said that you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amot after out of your place of habitation. That is generally understood to be a rabbinic prohibition, a rabbinic issue of Shabbos, but you can't, the other says, you can't violate the Oraita prohibition, the Oraita issues. So he doesn't bring it up directly here, but the truth is that if the doctor wants to move to Efrat, so that would be outside of Tchum de Oraita, probably, depending on how you get to Efrat and how long the road is and where there's habitations, but I think, and I mean, the general assumption is that beyond 12 meal, and a meal is 1,000 amas, so 12 mil is 12,000 amot, which depending on how you count an amah, but it's somewhere in the 4 mile range, right? Would be 12 mil. That we tend to assume, take it there, right? 12. Yeah, probably in the 3.5 to 4.5 mile range. And beyond that, it might be a d'oraita. And the Tzitzit Ezer is saying that as far as he is concerned, once you get beyond that, then you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because that's not what Chazal allowed for this factor to come into play. And in that earlier tshuva, he has discussed it at length as well in terms of the sugya and Eruvin, the discussion of Eruvin, all these issues and how he understands them, and also another tshuva as well. Then he also points out here that he found that Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was a 19th century Rav and Meshiv and respondent who had a book of response as well, who had said something similar. He said one time there was a person where there was somebody who was ill, deathly ill in his house, and therefore they had to go and ask the doctors for various issues, and they were farther than 12 mil, and then somebody went after them, and when the messenger comes back, he came back to ask if they're allowed to go back to their houses because they went for 12 mil, and it's not clear if you're allowed to. And Rav Shlomo Kluger said he didn't think he was allowed because first thing he wrote was that he doesn't think that, in fact, this whole idea of you have to let them come back because in the future they won't go really works. He is really important, is really valuable. I mean, in terms of war, he thought it was important because maybe there was danger to the person doing it life. But in terms of Bikuach Nefesh in general, Rav Shlomo Kluger said, it's such an important mitzvah that everybody would do it, even if they know that they'll get stuck there. So that's an interesting claim of his. I'm not sure that today that would necessarily be true. I certainly think that if you told Jewish doctors, and they believed you and they accepted it, that every time they were called into the hospital on the Shabbos, they would stay there for the whole Shabbos, I think there would be many, many more people who would think twice about going into medicine, and that would be an issue of its own. So he didn't think that was an issue. But more than that, and more relevant to Ezra's claim, as Rav Shlomo Kluger said explicitly, that it was never more than 2,000 amot, because 2,000 amot was the rabbinic amount. So more than 2,000 amot. I'm sorry, he thought they didn't allow more than 2,000 amot. They only allowed the carrying of the weapons. And he says it can't be, Rav Shlomo Kluger says, it can't be that we're going to allow Chilul Shabbos just in general for this because it'll be an embarrassment. It's just not the way to do it. The Mechatzkinuch also had said, I take it for granted, that when we say that we're worried about people not doing it in the future, if we're too strict with them, he meant only it's Kum Dirabana, which was a rabbinic ruling, right? So that the fact that you can't go beyond 2,000 amot, that was where the issue was. Beyond 12 mil, though, would be a problem. And the Mechatzkinuch had said, and this is a discussion of its own, had said because Chazal are not allowed to uproot something in the Torah by telling us to go and actively do something. So that's a question of its own, whether they can or can't, and when they can or can't. But here he's saying, that's what the Mechatzkinuch is saying, and therefore it supports the Ezra's point of view, not necessarily in terms of whether that specific halachic question is the way we posken it, but that the Mechatzkinuch takes for granted that all that was included in the permissibility of people who saved other people returning to their homes on Shabbos was the violation of Dirabanans. Right? So if it's only the violation of Dirabanans, then they can't go back beyond 12 mil, because that's the right thing, and they couldn't drive in a car, because that's a d'oraita, that's a biblical violation of Shabbos, and all sorts of issues come up once you make that distinction. Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, did not make that distinction. Rav Moshe Feinstein had held that that Gemara meant to include even biblical violation, because the importance of allowing the rescuers to get back to their homes was seen as so important that Rav Moshe Feinstein held that Chazal even allowed violating d'oraisa as part of the pikuach nefesh. Because Rav Moshe would say it's part of the pikuach nefesh, because if unless we allow it, then people will not be willing to do the pikuach nefesh, and therefore it's part of the pikuach nefesh. So the Tzitzil Ezer is disagreeing with Rav Moshe, and he's pointing out that Rav Shlomo Kluger disagreed with Rav Moshe, and that the Mechatzkinuch disagreed with Rav Moshe. This actually goes a step further, and he says, but the person calling the doctor doesn't have to think about that. So if a person's in the hospital and he says, oh, if I call this doctor, he won't be able to go back because it's a d'oraita, it's a biblical prohibition of Shabbos for him to go back, and he won't be able to go back. And this, he says, he doesn't have to worry about that because the person making that call to bring in the doctor has an actual sick person in front of him, and that sick person is in danger of their life, and therefore it's pikuach nefesh. So for pikuach nefesh, right now, we're allowed to do whatever it takes. And so even if, this says, even if the doctor doesn't want to travel in, unless we say to him, and you'll be allowed to travel back. See, the Ezra says, even though he doesn't really think this is true, he says, you have to tell him now that yes, it'll be allowed for you to travel back. And the reason why you tell it to him now is because that's part of saving the person's life. So the Ezra seems to be saying, he doesn't say it straight out, but he seems to be saying that since we're allowed to violate other parts of the Torah, for the purposes of pikuach nefesh, the purpose of saving life, we would also be allowed to violate the Torah, the rule that we're not allowed to lie to people. Ordinarily, we're not allowed to lie to other people. But here, if lying to them and telling them something that's not true is necessary for the saving of this life, and here it seems to be because we're worried the doctor won't choose to come in, so therefore we have to do it. Now that, he doesn't follow that train of thought. To me, that seems to be, well, I understand the reasoning, right? The reasoning is pikuach nefesh pushes saving lives pushes aside everything. That's already something to think carefully about, because if you allow lying, then that can get even more extreme. Meaning, what if I say I'm going to exaggerate the symptoms because I think that if I tell the symptoms as they are, the doctor will decide it's not a threat to the person's life, and I'm pretty sure that it is, and I need this doctor to come in to save the life. So it can get, there can be abuses of this power of significant sorts as if we go that far. However far that he says it would go, he was willing to go that far in terms of this question, in terms of telling the doctor that yes, he'll be allowed or she'll be allowed to return to their home, even by car, if that's the only way that they can do it, even though it'll be true that once the person's life is saved and the emergency is passed, in fact, the doctor will not be allowed to return to his or her home in this way, and if that doctor comes to ask us the question, that's in fact what we would tell them. Still, it seems to be suggesting that what would happen is, let's say I have a doctor who's loath to come in because he thinks he's not allowed to go back to wherever he lives. I need to get this doctor in, so I say, and you'll be allowed to go back. And he says, really? That's the halacha? And I say, that's the halacha. Still, it says, seems to think I'm allowed to say that's the halacha because right now there's a pikuach nefesh issue, and right now pikuach nefesh allows me to do anything it takes to get this person saved. Once their life is saved, though, so now, if the doctor goes back without turning to me and asking me another halakha question, what will have happened? The doctor will go back. As far as the other sort of concern, it seems like the doctor will go back wrongly, violating what he shouldn't have violated, but since he didn't turn to us again, it almost seems like nobody's at fault or nobody has to worry about it. In any case, that's the way he says it. Another possibility that he sort of raises, if he's trying to find ways. So one possibility is one could just listen to Ramosha. We'll get to that in a second. He says another possibility, it seems to me, is maybe, he's not confident about this. He says he closes this discussion by saying v'kulei hai v'ulai, which is a halachic way of saying, I have this whole train of reasoning, and at the end of it, my conclusion is only that maybe it's okay. So in general, we wouldn't want to rely on that. So here's another possibility is, if this doctor has ill people to see back at his house that Shabbos, and therefore he can say that maybe some of the people who come to his house that Shabbos will be in danger or a suffix that they're in danger, they might have the possibility of danger, then that might allow it, because then there's pikuach nefesh the other way. And so he says, it's possible that it's a good idea for a doctor to set up in his home, right? This is odd because we don't usually think that we want to look for opportunities for a doctor to be a doctor on Shabbos, but he's saying maybe the doctor sets up in his home towards the end of Shabbos a time to see people who are ill and need his help or her help, then that will help with our situation as well. Why? So let's say the doctor gets called in at 9 o'clock in the morning and the emergency, whatever it is, takes till noon, and now Shabbos is going to end at 6 that evening. So, and let's assume for a second that the only way for the doctor to get back to the home is by violating a d'oraita, a biblical prohibition of Shabbat. Ramosha said that was okay. Ramosha held that that whole sugya, that whole discussion in Erevin about the rescuers meant that you can violate even biblical prohibitions, but Tzitzelezer doesn't think so. Tzitzelezer, though, is saying, but if this man has regular office hours from 5 to 6 every Shabbos afternoon, right, for an hour before the end of Shabbos, every Shabbos afternoon, to see those who are in danger, there's something a little bit wrong in this construct, I'll say, because it's not necessarily so clear that the last hour, he doesn't say the last hour, I threw that in there, but sometime in the afternoon, there are people who are ill, they can come see him, and that might make it that it's a suffik pikuach nefesh. It's maybe there's a doubtful possibility that this doctor back in the place that he's going to now biblically, violating biblical prohibitions, would also have a pikuach nefesh situation. Maybe that would allow it. So, to me, that seems like a weak svara, because that's not a... He's stretching the concept of a suffik pikuach nefesh. He's saying, well, there's a doubt that there might be pikuach nefesh because it might be that somebody will come. But I'm not sure that I understand or that I've seen a lot of cases where we're willing to say the fact that people might come qualifies as a suffik pikuach nefesh. In any case, that's not his preferred solution. Despite all that he said, he says that if somebody wants to rely on Rav Moshe, you can rely on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a great authority, and Rav Moshe is certainly somebody of rank whose opinions you can follow. And we wouldn't look down on a person who relies on Rav Moshe in these situations, and you don't have to worry about that. And nobody should be stopping them. They're relying on Rav Moshe, and they have the right to do that. And then he points us to another Tzitzelezer. So this is all, by the way, let's remember, this is all the first tshuva. We haven't gotten back to our 29th of Sivan tshuva. So in the first tshuva, that was the conclusion that he came to, that if a man wants to rely on Rav Moshe, that he can. He's going to throw a wrench in the works in a second, but I would just note that there's other problems here, it seems to me, in terms of putting yourself in the situation where you have to violate Shabbos, or where you'll be in the situation where it'll come up that you have to rely on Rav Moshe's tshuva, on Rav Moshe's view when others didn't rely on it. That's a whole question of its own, right? The fact that Rav Moshe holds that if somebody happens to live in Efrat and then they become a doctor and they need to do this is one question. The question of choosing to live in Efrat, that's another question. Some of that comes up right here in the Tzitzelezer because he throws a curveball that I had not, in fact, seen coming. He says that I spoke to you on the phone, and while on the phone, the man had said to him that if you tell me that I can't move, then I won't move and we'll just live where we live. So Tzitzelezer says, that's really, really much better. And if you can do that, that would be really much better. And he says, and I think that if Rav Moshe knew about that, he would have said that as well, that it's better if somebody can live in a place where they don't have to violate Shabbos at a biblical level, and it's just a question of somewhat greater convenience to live in a place where they have to, then that's a valuing of Shabbos that the Tzitzelezer thinks is great and that Hashem will give reward for that, and he thinks Rav Moshe might agree with that either. So that is the piece that I wanted to think about before, meaning I've known doctors who have lived in X neighborhood where they're in with walking distance of where they work, of the hospital that they work at, and they can live there and therefore much minimize their Shabbos violations, or they can move to where they'll have more room, which is a value, an important value, but they will then have to, with some regularity, violate Shabbos and a d'oraita level to along the lines that Rav Moshe allowed. So Tzitz Eliezer is claiming that if the person were to choose to make do with somewhat less and live in the neighborhood that's closer, that's clearly better. So that's another piece of the puzzle that I think doesn't always get thought about as much as it could. Now, sometimes it can't be, and sometimes there are issues that come up that make it completely impossible, but there's a range of those things, right? So if the neighborhood right around the hospital is literally dangerous, right, there's murders there all the time, and there are drug wars there all the time, and somebody says, I really can't subject my family to this, or there's no functioning shul, or there's no schools for the kids at all whatsoever, that's one kind of a question. But sometimes, I think there are certainly times when near enough the hospital, there is a certain kind of a Jewish community, not the greatest, and not the most comfortable, not the best, but a certain kind of Jewish community. Whereas if somebody moves a little bit further away where they're going to have to drive to the hospital all the time, including on Shabbos, and drive back and rely on Rav Moshe, they'll have a bigger house and they'll have a better this and a better that. So these become complicated questions of how much we value Shabbos or don't value Shabbos and how we factor all of that in. I think these are questions, and Tzitz Eliezer doesn't weigh in on it. He just points out that if somebody was willing to take his guidance and say, no, I'll stick with where I am and I'll make do. In his case, it's a question of the person that's living in Yerushalayim and moving to Efrat. So I don't know how good or bad his accommodation in Yerushalayim were, but both are places of Jewish life and those kinds of issues. So it could be that in other places, the questions are different. Then the bombshell is, he adds, by the way, that in this particular man's situation, the man who wanted to move to Efrat, he said to me that he was going to move from where he lives now, which is the old city. The old city of Yerushalayim within the walls. And he's going to move to Efrat. Tzitz Eliezer holds that unless there's some particular need, there's some particular pressing need, he thinks it's not allowed. He doesn't hear explain why. He says he's explained it before. We don't have the time to go into that other tshuva. It's in volume 13, Siman 22. Of Tzitz Eliezer, and unfortunately, we're never going to get to see it in this venue because that tshuva has no date on it. That responsive has no date on it. So in this responsive day series, we're not going to get to see it. But if anyone wants to look it up, Yud Gimel Kaf Bet 13:22 in the Tzitz Eliezer, where Tzitz Eliezer explains his opinion that he thinks one who's living in the old city of Yerushalayim does not have the right to move to other places in Israel unless there are pressing circumstances, which he leaves undefined. So that's all that first tshuva. That was the man who wanted to move, who was the head of the magnetic resonance unit, and he wanted to move in Hadassah in Karim, and he wanted to move to Efrat. And as I said, in terms of the Shabbos issues, you theoretically could by relying on Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, but in terms of moving out of the old city, I think you're not allowed to. And I think it's better anyway if you come to understand and come to accept that Shmir Shabbos will be better even if you're allowed to rely on Moshe. It's better if you don't. That'll be better. But to the man who's currently asking the question, the Bikur Cholim doctor, the maternity ward, the neonatal ward, or the complicated pregnancy ward man who frequently has to go in for emergencies, here he thinks there are many more kulot to allow the man to go home on Shabbos. I mean, this man wasn't trying to move. He just wanted to know what he does about getting back to his house on Shabbos. And he said, if I drive in, I think I need my car to have my car with me in case I need to go in again. So he says that in Bikur Cholim, they have non-Jews around. Since they have a non-Jew around, he thinks to ask the non-Jew to drive him home, that's certainly allowed. Why is that certainly allowed? Because, first of all, it's so he'll have the car again to do Pikuach Nefesh again if the opportunity comes up, but also that's a rabbinic prohibition. The rabbinic prohibition is that the non-Jew is going to drive him. That's only rabbinic. That Tzitz Eliezer holds is fine. And then Tzitz Eliezer says, and if that's your general practice, then even if it should happen, then a particular Shabbat, you get called in, you drive in, you're expecting the non-Jew to drive you back, and the non-Jew isn't available or isn't there for some reason, and it only happens every so often, it's not like you have to expect that to happen. There, he thinks there's much more room to rely on Rav Moshe and to drive yourself back in that situation because people who want to rely on Rav Moshe can rely on Rav Moshe, and in this case, it's only an infrequent thing. It's not that he's relying on Rav Moshe all the time. He's relying on Rav Moshe because a special situation occurred. And then one last little piece is that Rav Shlomo Kluger, who we mentioned before, had said that it was clear to him that when we talk about saving lives on Shabbos, we think of Shabbos as dichuya, as hudcha, which means that we don't think that it's completely allowed to do whatever it needs to take. It's that halacha, Torah halacha, but halacha allows us to push aside Torah prohibition. The difference being, let's say I have to light a fire to save somebody's life on Shabbos. There's two ways I can think of that lighting of the fire. I can think that for this situation, there's no issue of lighting a fire on Shabbos. That would be called hutra. Shabbos is completely allowed for these purposes. Or I can think that really lighting a fire is still not allowed on Shabbos, but the halacha also says I'm allowed to violate Shabbos for the purpose of saving a person's life. That's called hutra. I've pushed Shabbos aside. So Shlomo Kloger takes for granted that I've pushed Shabbos aside for pikuach nefesh. But for all those who think that it's not true, that we say Shabbos is hutra, that we think that Shabbos is completely allowed, and therefore it's not even a prohibition right now, that would be even more room to allow and to rely on Rav Moshe for all of those authorities who held that way. But in general, he doesn't think you should do it. You should do it with a non-Jew, as is perfectly allowed, as we've seen. So these are some of the issues for doctors in terms of returning back to their homes when they're called in for medical emergency on Shabbos, including the very interesting idea that Rav Titzvah held, that one is not allowed to move out of the old city of Jerusalem unless some pressing issue came up. And that is a responsibility for the 29th of Sivan.